One of the most favorite things that my wife and I love to do when we travel, we go to different countries, and we've had different opportunities to go different places. Even if it's down to like Washington, D.C., we'll go to a gallery, go to an art gallery. We love to go in and see some of the masterpieces that have been painted that hang in the national galleries. We've been to the ones here. When we were in, a few years back, we were in Budapest, and we went to a gallery there and had the privilege of seeing a lot of the works by Caravaggio. Just amazing, amazing works. When we were in London, we went to the Tate Gallery and were able just to take a day and just go through and just spend time looking at these incredible masterpieces that hang. And I love to get really close. We'll try to get close to see the painting and the brush strokes on these masterpieces. And you can't get too close. They don't let you. They've got this little line. You can't get too close. But it's awesome to try and just see and get the feel of what these people were thinking and the amazing talent as they began to paint these masterpieces. And so it's been a joy for us to go to these different places and see these masterpieces. But I got to tell you, there is no gallery. We've been to many galleries, but I got to be honest. There is no gallery that can be compared to the gallery of God's Word. Hallelujah. You walk down the hallways of this book, and you will see masterpieces on either sides of the walls. You just go through this, and the word pictures that God has painted. After all, I mean, He's the one that makes these incredible sunsets and sunrises. When you take a look at the beauty, I was doing a class one time, and the teacher said, the greatest teacher that you'll ever get is God Himself in nature. You just take a look how God has created things, and you will know that's the best way to paint. And tonight, I want to just take you down the gallery. Just open the door to the gallery of God's Word and just begin to give you a glimpse of maybe two or three masterpieces that He has got on the wall. And I know that it'll touch your life as you just open your heart and let the Word speak. Let the picture that God paints speak into your heart tonight. A number of years ago, we were doing a marriage seminar, and there was multiple couples in this particular course that we were doing, but there was one couple in particular, and she was very attentive to the things that were being shared, but he sat there for, the whole of the first day. He just sat there with this incredible scowl on his face. There was open hostility at one point. I began to think to myself, this individual must have come to this seminar being pressured by his wife to come to this place, because his disposition was of such that there was this, an open hostility towards what was being communicated. And we left. We went home that night, and we prayed for him, and we said, we just don't know what's going on in this man's life. And then the next day it began to be revealed. But before I share what was going on in his life, let me take you to, as we open the door to God's gallery, let me take you to one of the very first pictures that I want to share with you tonight. And by the way, there's so many, and don't be disappointed if I don't pick your favorite verse of Scripture tonight. These are just like three or four verses that God has put in my heart. The one that I love so much is the conversation that Moses is having at a burning bush. He's been 40 years in this desert, and as an 80-year-old man, and he's walking by, and there's this incredible scene before his eyes, and you see this bush that is burning but yet not being consumed. And we just take a look at this picture as he comes to this bush, and God begins to speak to him. Now listen to the picture that I want to paint for you tonight through the Word of God. As God is speaking to Moses, he says in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Exodus, he says, "And he said, draw not nigh hither, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standing is holy ground. So immediately you're getting a picture of what is taking place here. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So here you've got this meeting with Moses and God at this place of this burning bush. But it's this next verse that I want to have painted into your minds. Listen to the words of God as he begins to speak to this man Moses at this burning bush. And this is the verse that I love so much. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've seen the affliction. It just paints this picture that God knows the afflictions of his people. I've seen it. I've seen the affliction. That word simply means depression, misery, trouble. Beloved, what a picture. You could be looking at this painting on the wall of this gallery of God's Word, and what begins to speak to you as God would to show you this painting of what his concern is. And he says, I have seen the affliction of my people. God sees it. He knows the misery, the depression, the trouble. He goes on to say, of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. I remember a time before I got saved when I was living a life down in South Africa. I was no longer working. I had no place to stay. I was sleeping on top of buildings and in stairwells. Wherever I could find a place to sleep, I would try to find that place. I remember walking down the street one day saying, oh God, just come take my life. It wasn't a prayer. I wasn't praying. It was an exasperation of somebody who didn't know God, but just there was a cry. Beloved, tonight, you've got to understand, when you take a look at this painting on the gallery of God's Word, you understand a couple of things. Number one, he sees the affliction. He sees the trouble that you might be in. He sees the difficulties that you might be facing. But he also hears the cry of your heart. It might not be heard by anybody else in the entire world. You might not even have a prayer or a cry out to God. It just might come from the very core of your being, that you know that you are in desperate times and that the cry rises up within you, and you just might say like I did, oh God, just come take my life. It wasn't a prayer. It was just a simple cry. Months later, I get saved. God hears the cry that is in the heart. He goes on to say, and by reason of their taskmasters, I know their sorrows. Look at the painting that you're starting to see from this one verse of Scripture. God sees. He also hears. He sees what you're going through. He hears the very cry of your heart. And he knows intimately the sorrows that you have gone through, the sorrows that have befallen your life. He knows them intimately. The word there has the connotation of intimacy. I know your sorrows. I know what you're feeling. And so when you take a look at the Word, you understand that this amazing God sees all of these things about our lives. But verse 8, this is what I love as you take a look at this painting on this the gallery of God's, you know, Word, and we understand. And in verse 8 he says, and I have come down. Oh, beloved, God is coming down. God has come down. 2,000 years ago, God came down as a man, and he died on a cross of Calvary just for you. He knew the sorrows. He knew the difficulties. He knew the distresses. And as we take a look at this picture, you leave with the understanding that God not only sees, he hears, and he knows the sorrow, but he does one more thing. He says, I have come down to deliver you. Hallelujah. God is able to deliver anybody. And so you walk away from this painting and you just know, when you see this masterpiece of God, that there is deliverance in the hand of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I think of this man as he's at the seminar, and the following day, he was in such bondage. He was really caught in a snare. And we began just talking with him. When we got to, and nothing was coming out but this open hostility. But when we got to the lesson on forgiveness, as we began to share the power of God's incredible forgiveness, he began to break. Just as he witnessed that in a marriage that was at the brink of divorce, yet God, in his mercy and grace and love, begins to bestow incredible forgiveness. And as we went through the verses, verse after verse of the forgiveness of God, this man began to weep. And at the end of it, he began to share with us what happened in his life. He had a son that had hemophilia. And this internal bleeding, he couldn't bump himself because it was a danger. And he was riding with his son, and this one day he took his son for a bike ride, and the son said, "I don't have my helmet." And the father said, "No, we'll just go around the block and come back." But as they were riding the bike, the bicycle slid on some sand, and the boy fell off his bike and hit his head on the ground. And they rushed him to hospital. He died. And this father was so grief-stricken, and here was a man who had been serving God. His roots went deep into the things of God. His life was absolutely centered around the Lord. But at that point in his life, he turned away from God. The tree that had grown was amazing in his life. The tree of life that Christ had put in his life had grown, but at that point, he turned away, and for years he walked in this unforgiveness of his own heart until this particular point in time when his wife said, "Honey, our marriage is a mess. Let's go, at least go to this as a one more chance opportunity." And it was in that meeting, just hearing the verses on forgiveness, that he began to weep and began to break. And at that moment in time, he accepted the forgiveness of God to himself. And not only that, he began to forgive himself for this, what took place. One of the hardest battles is for men and women to forgive themselves for the things that they have done. Which brings me to this side of the gallery on another painting that I want to just show you. It's an incredible verse, and I'll just read it to you. This comes from the book of Job. And I want you just to hear, as I describe this painting in God's gallery, what this painting looks like. Listen to Job, what it says. Job chapter 14, and there's three verses here, 7-9. This is what it says. "For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground." Job is painting a picture here of a tree that was once tall and large and flourishing. But over time, maybe it had been cut down, but over time, this tree has become old. The roots in the ground has become old. You know, folks, there are people who have had roots within God for years, and something has turned them away from God, and the tree has died, fallen over. The roots no longer drawing the sustenance of that moisture out of the ground. No longer flourishing. And this is what this man was like. He was like this tree that once was flourishing, and after what happened to his son, years went by, and all that was left was the stump. And this is what Job paints, this amazing picture, and you can just see it. I can see this stump in this desert land, this tree that must have had old gnarly roots now and just all dried and hard. And in this desert land, you can just begin to think when you take a look how big this tree must have been. And now nothing, nothing. And you can just imagine the birds that were in that tree, the joy that was in that tree, and just how the branches must have spread. And Job paints this picture and says, but you know, there's hope. And he talks about here in the next part of the verse, it goes on, and the scripture says here, "Yet through the scent of water," just the scent of water, it will begin to bud again and begin to blossom. I've got to tell you tonight, when I was just putting this word together as God was speaking to my heart, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there are people here who once walked with God, and your roots were deep in the things of the Lord. But somewhere, sometime, something happened to you. And those roots no longer drew the sustenance it needed, and you became old and you became wore out. But I got good news for you. This, Job tells us at just the scent of water that there is a reviving of life that takes place in this tree. Even though it looks old, dead, dried, nothing is going to happen. Yet a mist just goes on by and a bud begins to pop out. I got news for you tonight. Jesus knows you, He sees you, He hears the cry, and tonight, just at the very scent, at the very presence of God, life is beginning to touch that old tree one more time. Hallelujah. God is touching that tree tonight. I know God is doing something. You've just sensed the very presence of God, and life is beginning to blossom. You feel it, you sense it. Is there hope? The Bible tells me yes, even at the mere scent of water, just at the very presence of God, He'll begin to ignite that growth and that hope one more time in your heart. I also remember a time that there was a lady who called us up in one of the churches we pastored, and unchurched lady, there was no regard for God in the sense, and had no desire to know anything about God. But she called, we were a non-denominational church, and she called us up, called the office, and we took the call, and she said, would you come visit me? And so we said, sure, well, what's the problem? Well, when you get here, I'll tell you what the problem is. And so my wife and I got in the car, we went over to her house, and I remember that day that Nadine Kamara, she, lovely lady, sat down, and we sat in her living room, and we began to speak. And she said, for the last few days, I can't explain it, but I go to bed at night, and as I'm drifting off to sleep, something happens. I feel like I leave my body, and I'm looking down at my body, and I'm so scared I'm not sleeping at night. I just lie. And so I'm looking, I've never dealt with anybody like this in my entire life. And we just began to pray. And we spoke to her, and we said, you know, Nadine, if you put your hope and your trust in God, the Bible tells us, and I remember the scripture, and I just wrote it down in this message. I remember speaking this word from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that He upholds all things by the word of His power, and that God can hold all things together. And that if you come to Jesus Christ and you accept Him into your life, God, this will not happen to you again. God holds all things together. He will not allow this to happen to you in your life. And she said, but how am I going to know this? I said, you just trust Him. Just pray the prayer with us and just trust Him. Well, I've got to tell you, we prayed that prayer with her that day and we left. She called us the next day. She said, I had the best night's sleep. Nothing happened. This Jesus must work. Hallelujah. This Jesus must work. Beloved, it wasn't just her. When you take a look and see when God touches somebody's life, the next following week, her husband got saved. Their two children later on went through the Sunday school. They served the Lord today. Her sister got saved. About a month later, her mother got saved. Her father was in prison for something that he did in corporate world. And they went to go visit him and began to share the gospel with him. Not only did he get saved, but he got released out of prison. That's the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And I remember talking to her. And she said, well, how do we know this is going to work? How do we know this is true? And, you know, beloved, I want to take you to the next painting in God's gallery. It's a painting that I just love in the scriptures. And it is found in Romans. And it's just a very small verse of scripture. It's Romans chapter 11, verse 17. And the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, this is what he says. He says, and you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree were grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in God's rich nourishment of His special olive tree. You see, folks, we don't have to understand how it works. We just have to trust him. It's like the grafting in. And here we see, and when I was putting this together, I can see a farmer. In fact, my grandfather showed this to me years and years ago when I was a young boy. My grandfather would graft into plum trees and peach trees. And I remember seeing this one time that he would take his penknife and he would make a cut into the branch and he'd peel the thing back. I can still see him so vividly in my little boy's eyes as I watched my grandfather just take the knife, peel it back. And he'd already taken another branch from another tree that was scraggly, wasn't producing fruit. And he would trim it on two sides and he would put it into the cut, the groove. And then he would bind that around with cloth very tightly. And in those days, they didn't have the things I'm sure that they had today. But he took resin and he would pour resin. And he told me, you don't want any air in this thing. You want this thing to connect. And I looked at that thing and I can remember seeing the tree begin to wither. And, is this really going to work? Is this really going to happen? That little branch that was now into this new tree. And I'd go out each day and I'd take a look and I saw the branch begin to wither and the leaves went yellow. And I thought, this isn't working. This isn't happening. And my grandfather said, just wait. Just hold on a minute. And those leaves fell. And one morning he said to me, come take a look. And we went out to that tree, and I'm not sure if it was a plum or a peach tree that he had grafted, but we took a look at that, and there in this branch was a tiny little bud that began to push through. And beloved, you don't have to understand how God is going to answer your problems. You just have to know that when he grafts you into his Son, Jesus Christ, that there is some... The Bible says, when you are grafted into him and he just closes his love round about you. You don't have to worry, when will cigarettes fall off? When will cursing fall off? When will this fall off? When will this take place? I don't know. It's like winter here. When we go through the fall, when that first leaf drops, you know that fall is on the way. But there are some trees even now that have still got all of these leaves, these dry leaves on the branches. And you think, well, what's going to happen? When do those leaves come off? They've gone through this whole winter. Well, folks, it's real easy. In a few weeks' time, spring is going to be coming up through those trees. And the moment spring touches into those old branches, those leaves just blink, fall off and go to the ground. You don't have to say, God, how are you going to change my life? How are you going to do these things? I want to tell you tonight that when you get grafted into Jesus Christ, his life begins to change you on the inside. Hallelujah. All things begin to pass away. Behold, all things become new. Glory be to God. You don't have to worry about it. God will do it. And as you get into the Word, he will begin to give you these things into your heart. I want to close with one more painting tonight. I've got several, but let me close with one more. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, and we'll close in the New Testament. Amazing painting. As we take a look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll read through a few verses together. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. It says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that is now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, beloved, without God, we become children of wrath. Only wrath and judgment await us. But when you've got God, look at... Now, this is the painting I want to show you tonight. Look at the painting that God begins to paint in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy... And when you take a look at that word, it means to be abundantly wealthy. When he says he is rich in mercy, it means that he is abundantly wealthy. You can't count the zeros at the end. God is just so full of mercy, rich in mercy, the Bible tells us. He says, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Even when there was no hope, we were dead in our sins. With no hope in life. Children of wrath, the Bible calls us. He says that he, great mercy loved us, where we're dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you take a look at this painting, it's like one of those Renaissance paintings where you see people on earth and yet the heavens opened up and God, you see God and angels. And it's just one of those paintings that has, you know, so many aspects to it. But take a look at this, and I close on this, what God says that he will do for you if you allow him to graft you into his son. Look at the things that he will bestow upon you. Look at the things that he will give into your life. The nurture as you get grafted into that tree. The life begins to come through into your life. Let me show you what he does first of all. There's four us's in here. In verse 4, he says, the first thing he does is he loves us. Folks, if ever there's a time that we need to know and experience love, it's today. In fact, we don't even know what love is until the arms of God wrap around us and say, I loved you before you were even born. I've loved you. Hallelujah. He says that he loves us. And then number two, he says in verse 5, that he has quickened us. Not only will he forgive us and shed abroad his love into our hearts, but he says he'll begin to quicken you. Suddenly, maybe you walked with, you know, round shoulders before you got saved. But I'm telling you, as soon as you get into Jesus and walk with him, you begin to walk upright. He begins to quicken you. This life comes into you. Suddenly, life takes on a whole brand new meaning because he quickens us. Not only does he do that, look at verse 6. He says, he has raised us up together. When he raised Jesus up, the Bible says that death no longer has dominion over you. You do not have to fear death a day longer. The Bible says that he will raise us up. And lastly, the fourth us, he says, he has made us to sit together in heavenly places. Oh, beloved, that's why he says God is rich in mercy. We don't deserve to sit with God. We don't deserve to sit with Jesus, but yet in his love and his mercy, God says, I will do this work for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God thanks tonight. God will do this in your heart tonight. What an amazing, as we just closed the door to the gallery so far, we just basically opened up and seen maybe 2-3 paintings on the wall of God's gallery. Every one of the paintings that I shared with you tonight speak expressly of the love of God for you. Expressly, that God so loved you, I'm coming down to deliver you, to set you free. He doesn't want to see you go on in your sin and go into a lost eternity. He says, no, I've heard the cry. I've seen what you're going through. I know your sorrow. I've come to deliver you. Now tonight, I know that there's some of you who are like this first illustration, a man who once served God, but no longer had roots in the things of the Lord. Dried, no longer serving God, angry. And I know that there's some here tonight that you know that you had roots with God, but no longer. Well, there's hope for you tonight. God put this message on my heart for you. He wants to cause and allow you to bud again in the things of God. He's calling you home. He's calling you back to himself tonight. But secondly, you might be like Nadine, troubled, didn't know God, but yet had the sense to call on a church that would just speak to them the truth. And in that moment of time, they are leaders in their church. They have gone on serving God. The whole family is saved. You might be here tonight and that you have never receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're like Nadine, troubled, but know Jesus. Is it going to work? Well, you just trust Him. You trust Him. Don't worry about how the things are going to fall off. New life will begin to spring up inside of you the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet, and without, you know, too much moving about, just stand to your feet. And I want to pray, and I want to ask you a question tonight. God has spoken to your heart. Jesus was not ashamed to go to the cross for you. And tonight, you don't need to be ashamed of Him. If God has been speaking to your heart, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're like Nadine Kamara, didn't know God. You know there's a church out there, you're here tonight, but you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to do so tonight. I'm going to ask you to do something boldly. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple, and that is by just slipping your hand up to say, "Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus tonight." If that's you, just put your hand straight up in the air, unashamed. There's hands going straight up. Just put your hand straight up in the air. Do not be ashamed. And God is going to reach you and meet that need in your heart. Just put it straight up and say, "God, that's me tonight. I am like Nadine. I need God in my life." Now, I'm going to ask you to do something, again, real simple. Just those who've got your hand up, you can put it down, but I want you just to go to the aisle right now. In the balcony, just go to the aisle. Simply slip out. Say to the person next to you, "Excuse me, I need to go to this altar." Just step out from your seat right now and just make your way to this altar. We're going to wait for you. And I want to ask those, and I'm going to make it very specific. There's another group of people. You come on down. If God's spoken to you, come down to this altar right now. We'll wait for you. The second group is that you had roots in God at one point, but you know that you've been far from God for a long time, and you want to come back to Him tonight. If that's you, put your hands straight up in the air. Just put it straight up. That's good. Just put it straight up. Don't be ashamed. That's you. All right, you too. Also, just step out from where you are, and you make your way to this altar. Here's one lady who's come. You can put your hand down. It's fine. You're right here. Just God is going to say, we're going to sing a song, and just make your way. Just step out, and you come down to this altar. We'll wait for you. This is the most important decision and time of your life that you're making tonight. It's so important that God would make a meeting like this just for you, because He's heard, He's seen, He knows, and tonight He wants to reach you. We'll sing a song, and I'm going to come back and pray with you. Hallelujah. Whether you're coming to Jesus for the very first time, or you've walked with Him in the past, and you're coming back to Him tonight, the prayer is exactly the same. We're just going to ask the Lord just to forgive those things that we've done wrong, and then invite Him just to come into your life. And beloved, the rest will be history. The rest is history. It's God will do the supernatural. You, right now, He is putting the faith in your heart to believe it, and that you can receive Him and receive all that the plan that He has. That the enemy had only destruction for you, but God's plan for you is for life, and not only life now, but abundant life and eternal life to go with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Pray this prayer with me. Just bow your heads, and those at the front, just pray this with me tonight. Lord Jesus, I know nobody has to tell me that I have done wrong and that I'm a sinner. And I am convinced tonight in my heart that I can change and that I need a life greater than my own. And Lord, I believe that is You. And tonight, I want to make the great exchange. I confess my sins to You. I ask You to forgive me. I ask You, Lord, take my life. As wretched as it is, I give You my life. And tonight, I open my heart to you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Bring your strength, your grace, and your love into me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe right now that my sins are forgiven and that I have become a child of God. And for this, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now give Him thanks tonight. Hallelujah.